This program is made possible by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
The spirit of mammon is that spirit that operates in the world. The spirit of mammon is that spirit that operates the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That same spirit of mammon came that way to the first Adam. The lust of the flesh was what? I'm hungry. The lust of the eyes, I want to eat of that tree. The pride of life, so I can be wise. It did the same thing with Jesus. The spirit of mammon is always trying to get somebody to bow down to it.
I'm a world changer.
This is Changing Your World with Creflo Dollar. Now, from the World Dome in College Park, Georgia, here's Pastor Dollar with today's message.
Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. Now, I'm going to take you on a little journey here tonight. This is going to be something amazing, but I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. Honor is the currency for promotion. Honor is the currency for promotion or expansion or all of those things you're trying to get happen in your life. Honor is the currency for promotion and expansion. Now, I'm going to talk to you tonight about, we talked about godly influence versus mammon's influence. And I want to talk to you tonight about godly influence on money. You remember when I gave you the illustration and I said to you, if you take a dollar and put it on the steps, that dollar is neither good or bad. It depends on who picks it up and it depends on the influence that they're under. Well, if you're under godly influence, then that same influence is on your money. But if you're under the influence of mammon, then that influence is on money. But money by itself is neither good nor bad. It's whatever influence you carry, either a worldly mammon influence or a godly influence, which will determine what to do with this. Now, Luke 16, again, was the story of a steward who was not faithful with his Lord's money. And for so much of the church, they have no idea how important it is to know that how you handle money will determine how you're going to handle everything else. You can use that in your own life. You want to know something about a person? Check out how they handle money. If they steal $2 off the counter, then you don't want to make them the vice president of your billion-dollar corporation because they'll steal there. All right, so verse 10. Let's read it out loud together. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, for most people, they read this and they say, well, the least means, you know, if you've been faithful with a little anointing, then God will make you, you know, will congratulate you with much anointing. If you've been faithful with little authority, then you can be trusted with much authority. Now, that's the truth, but that's not what he's saying here. That's absolutely true. You know, how you handle things when it's small, will let us know something about how you'll handle it when it's big. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. In a sense, what Jesus is talking about, go to verse 10, specifically, since the context of the scripture, what did I say? I want to keep saying some of the same things over and over again. The application of a scripture is determined by the context in which that scripture is found. You cannot take, like, for example, verse 10 and lift it up out of its context and then just go to preaching all kinds of stuff about it. You have to understand within the context what is this scripture saying. To take it out of context, man, you could mislead people and then just go to saying any kind of thing. You can say what I just say. What it would be true, but it's not what he said. The context was an unfaithful steward who could not be trusted with his Lord's money. And Jesus, in verse 10, calls that money the least. In context, he calls it the least. Now, I ain't arguing with religious folks about that. Go take you an English class and in literature class, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's got to be in context. And if you read it from verse 1 down, it's in context, and least is making reference to money. And so what he says is, he that is faithful in that which is least, or in other words, he says, he that is faithful in money, it's faithful also in much. So he's specifically talking about money in context. He who is unjust in money is unjust also in much, because the least here is money. Money can't be the much, because he just said it was the least. All right, so now, you go to verse 11. Verse 11 says, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, I talked to you about Sunday that he's not just talking when he uses the word mammon. Jesus used the word mammon four times in the New Testament. And each time he used the word mammon, he was not referring to riches as much as he was referring to the spirit of mammon that had got on the money. The spirit of mammon was the Syrian god of mammon, which they referred to as the Syrian god of riches, and they gave the name of that Syrian god mammon. And so when Jesus said mammon, he was not just making reference to riches, but he was making reference to that spirit of mammon. It's the same spirit that operated in Babylon that caused an unhealthy greed for materials, okay? Babylon, it means confusion by mixture. So the word Babylon, confusion by mixture. In other words, I think I taught this and told you, when you mix the law and grace together, that's Babylon. It's confusion by mixture. You know, we're nothing but sinners saved by grace. Well, that's confusing. Which one are you? You know, and the reason why it's confusing, because you're trying to mix what you get by grace and still trying to get it by the law. And whatever you mix, confusion by mixture. We'll talk some more about that. So he says, if you can't be faithful in unrighteous mammon, see, the point he was making is, you will never, if you have mammon, the spirit of mammon operating in your life, you won't be faithful. You have the spirit of mammon operating in your life instead of the spirit of God, you won't be faithful. If you don't have godly influence operating in your life to influence your life as well as influence how you handle money, you won't be faithful. Because people who are under the influence of mammon are not faithful. Because under the influence of mammon, you're willing to do anything you have to do to get it. Because mammon wants you to say, I don't trust God, I don't need God. Mammon wants you to have more faith and trust in money than you do God. The objective of mammon is to turn you away from God so that you don't trust him anymore. He says, well, who will commit to your trust to riches? Now, verse 12, he uses this illustration in a natural situation. And if you have not been faithful or trustworthy in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? He's saying, well, you know that. You know that for yourself. In the realm that you live in, you know that, you know, if the guy hadn't been faithful to that which is another man, why would you put anything, any stock into him? And then verse 13 is here I want to start tonight. He says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Interesting, in verse 13, it's saying you can't do it. And do you know there are religious Christian people who still think they can? And that's what religion is made up of. It's made up of people who want to serve God and people who want to serve mammon. It's made up of people who want to serve God and Satan at the same time. And he says you can't do it. A couple of reasons you can't do it, because you can't have two minds. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he should receive anything from the Lord, number one. The second reason you can't do it is because it will cause instability. It can't happen. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. You can't serve. Now, I didn't say, you didn't hear me say, and I want you to get used to this, when you hear mammon, don't just reduce it to money. I didn't say you can't serve God and money. I said you can't serve God and the spirit of mammon on money. When he uses mammon, he's specifically talking about that spirit that's on the money. So you can, and that's interesting. He says the only thing that has the potential of being your other master, if you don't choose God to be your master, then you'll choose mammon. And mammon is a spirit that gets on money to get you to think that if you have money, you don't need God. And I think Sunday we call money mammon anointing. Like God's anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes, Satan's anointing is money trying to deceive you into thinking that if you can get enough money, it will remove burdens and destroy yokes. It's really an anti-anointing. It's an anti-Christ. And if you're not aware of that influence that's operating in your life, you don't even know that it's on you. It's so easy and so subtle that it jumps on a person's life, and it can govern your whole life until it ends up destroying you. And so I want you to look at this here in verse 13. You can't serve God and mammon. If you begin to try to serve God and mammon, you're going to find yourself in Babylon. You're going to find yourself in confusion that's caused by mixture. Mark 2, you remember Mark 2, I think, verse 21 and 22. It talks about you can't put new wine in old wineskin. Why? It'll burst, and you'll lose the benefit of both of them. I think in the book of Revelations 3, Jesus says, I don't have any problems with you being hot. I don't have any problems with you being cold. He says, the problem I have is when you try to be lukewarm, mixture. And then when you try to be lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. So it's always mixture that he's talking about, a mixture of law and grace. You know, trying to live by the law and grace equals zero results. Trying to put wine, new wine in old wine skins, zero results. Trying to put, to serve God and mammon, zero results. You got to choose. You're going to choose. I'm going to serve God or I'm going to serve mammon. So what I'd like to do, we've talked over the last month or so about mammon's influence on money. I want to spend the time tonight to talk to you about godly influence on money. So you have to decide who are you going to yield to. Now, I think on Sunday I instructed you on Sunday about the issue that the spirit of mammon is that spirit that operates in the world. The spirit of mammon is that spirit that operates in the world. I believe I use 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, where it talks about love not the world nor the things that are in it. And he says everything that's in the world. He tells you what the world is. He wasn't talking about love not creation. He was saying love not the world. And he defined that by saying the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are the things that are in the world. And that any man that loves the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that the love of the Father is not in him. The spirit of mammon is that spirit that operates in the world. The spirit of mammon is that spirit that operates the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That same spirit of mammon came that way to the first Adam. The lust of the flesh was what? I'm hungry. The lust of the eyes, I want to eat of that tree. The pride of life, so I can be wise. It did the same thing with Jesus. The spirit of mammon is always trying to get somebody to bow down to it. And it did the same thing in Jesus' life when Jesus was in the wilderness. The lust of the flesh, he was fasting, he was hungry. The lust of the eyes, he showed them all the things that he would give them if he would bow down and worship him. And of course, Jesus wasn't taking any of the stuff that was going on, but he at least tried to get him to bow down. So mammon tried to seduce Jesus. Mammon tried to seduce Adam. Mammon is trying to seduce you, and it's all about getting you to oppose God until you can say, I don't trust you and I don't need you. The spirit of mammon is in opposition to everything that God stands for. If God says sow and reap, mammon's going to say, steal and cheat. So mammon's trying to get you to do whatever you got to do to try to get the money, because he wants you to think that money is like God's anointing. God's anointing will remove burdens and destroy yokes. The spirit of mammon wants to seduce you into thinking that money can do the same thing as his anointing, remove burdens and destroy yokes. But you know as well as I do, the money can buy the house, but it cannot buy the home. Money can't remove burdens and destroy yokes. There are certain things going to happen in your life that money not going to be able to be the solution. Only God's going to be able to be the solution. And that's where the real truth is. But there's just lots of people who believe, I don't need God because I have money, and this money is my anointing, and it will remove burdens and destroy yokes. And that's just not true. So we looked at that. So let's look at the godly influence. I mean, you're godly people. Let's just all agree you all have chosen God, amen, over mammon, amen. I said you all have chosen God over mammon, amen. So So what does it mean? What does it mean when a Christian, you know, admits that I choose God over mammon? It means that I am prepared to do what God instructs me to do in my life. It means that I am prepared to submit to what God is saying. That's the opposite of pride. Pride is associated with the spirit of mammon. And like pride is associated with the spirit of mammon, humility is associated with the spirit of God. And so when, you know, when you're influenced by mammon, you will humble yourself to God. So if God says, cast all your care on him, then you're not going to be walking around worried. Why? Because you're submitted to God and you're going to cast your care on him. Why? Because he says so. Because he said so. This is not, well, you know, I don't know. I don't agree with that. No, I do it because God says so. I'm going to show you a scripture tonight, the one in Matthew 5 where he said, turn the other cheek. And you don't know what he was saying. He didn't say turn the other cheek so you can demonstrate how weak you are. He said turn the other cheek so that you can demonstrate how humble you are. Listen, humble in the way that I'm willing to submit to God, knowing that it ain't never going to end up in the negative for me.
Amen.
If I ever have to turn the other cheek, there's a breakthrough going to happen as a result of me doing that. Because when you humble yourself, you will find grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And grace will remove the burden and destroy the yoke. In fact, I pray for the person who's doing the slapping because they'll get the backside of that anointing.
Amen.
All right. All right. So the issue that I want to deal with tonight when we talk about godly influence on mammon, or excuse me, godly influence on money, is what happens when I submit money to God. Well, first of all, Brother Dollar, you cannot talk about that because that's not a scripture. Well, it is. Let's start in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. What happens? First of all, is it biblical for me to submit money to God's influence? Is it a biblical thing? And if it is, how does that work? You know, Jesus said this. He said, you know what? I can tell everything I want to tell about the rest of your life if you'll show me what you do with money. And he proved it all through the New Testament. Every time you look around, there's a parable about money that Jesus is talking about. And every time he talks about the parable, it's whether or not you can trust me or if you trust the money. He used a rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler had all this money and said he was well ready to do everything. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. Sell all you have. Come follow me. And take up your cross and be just like us. And the Bible says that he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved. And you read on down, it says because he trusts his money more than he trusts God. The whole issue is the issue over money. Some of you who have not heard this series and you're sitting here right now and you're feeling kind of funny, what is that feeling? You are possessed with a demon by the name of mammon. Because he's tried to hide and put a mask on while he constantly ruins your life and tells you don't need to go to church and hear nobody talk to you about that. Why do you think that's such a fight? Because through this spirit of mammon, he has destroyed lives for centuries. And we are now unveiling and unmasking that sucker and beating his brains out. And we are choosing the godly influence over our money. And if God can trust me with money, which is the least, oh my God, he says, then he can trust me with the much. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the much. I'm ready for the true riches. Money will never be the true riches, but I'm ready for those things that money cannot buy.
Amen.
And I want to prove myself faithful with the cash, hallelujah, so I can find myself being faithful with everything else concerning my life. So somebody says, well, you mean you're trying to tell us that money's got to do with everything in life? I'm telling you, you can know everything you want to know about a man's character and how he's going to respond and act based on what he'll do with money. You don't believe me? You can use the same test. You can take your best friend, borrow $20 from him, and don't pay it back. And watch and see, you call him up. Hey, man, what's up? What you mean, what's up? What happened? Man, didn't you say you're going to get my $20 back yesterday? Man, I got the $20. Oh, I'm getting ready to cut you. See, that's all mammon. That's mammon driven. All right. Now look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy what? What's that? That's money. If you have an Amplified Bible, it says, honor the Lord with your capital from righteous labor. So he's talking about money. He says to honor the Lord with your money. Man, when I first saw that, I'm like, whoa, what is this? What do I need to, what do I do with that scripture? Take it and just throw it away because no preacher wants to talk about that. And it's right here. He says, honor the Lord with your substance. What? Okay, so let's the only way we're understanding what he's saying here is we got to understand what honor is. There could be no mistake about what it means when he says honor. When God talks about honor, literally the word means to carry weight, to weigh in heavy. It means like that when you honor your mother and father, the Bible says honor your mother and father. That means that your mother and father, their words spoken to you will carry more weight than the words of anybody else. Their words spoken to you will weigh in heavier than anybody else. That's what honor is. Honor is this sense of first place, this sense of priority and importance. And so when he talks about to honor the Lord and to honor his word, by the way, to honor the Lord and to honor his word means that God's word carries more weight than anybody else's word. God's word has a first place of priority. When there's an issue in my life, because the word, I honor God's word, I go to God's word, see what he has to say about it. Doctor says you got cancer, what does the word have to say about it? Situation comes up, they say they're going to put you out, what does the word have to say about it? That's honor. That's honor. Honor is not honor if who you're honoring or what you're honoring doesn't come in first place. In fact, whatever, if God is first place and you replace God being first place with somebody or something, that's called idolatry. Honor involves God being first place, which means because he carries so much weight, you go there first. Because he carries so much weight, you're willing to submit to him first. Because he carries so much weight, I mean, there's no question about it. God carries weight in my life, and that's where I am. Somebody says, oh, man, you crazy. I apologize, but I honor God. Therefore, I honor God. I do it this way. See, when people can, that's the thing that's missing in our society. If people can start operating in honor, they ain't got to worry about sin. Some dude comes and he's, you know, to you ladies and he says, this, during this day and time, you know, we get to try it out first. So won't you come on in here and let me try it out? Your response should be, well, what does the word have to say about that? And so I honor God. His word carries more weight than you, with your pretty little self. He's sitting at a beauty parlor right by you when you get your hair done. Watch a man who spend more time in the mirror than you do. Because he's going to honor himself more than he honor you. Honor is always the issue. Honor is the currency for promotion. And when you walk in godly honor, you're saying, God, I honor you above anything or anybody else, which means you have first place. I submit to you first. I choose you first. I choose you. So anytime mammon comes with a choice, because you've decided to honor God, what you're saying is, I'm going with God. Okay, yeah, I know I might lose this because mammon says, do anything to get the money. Somebody offers you $300,000. God called you to Atlanta to do a specific job. You're only making $50,000 there, but you choose the $300,000. You didn't even check with God. Mammon had already captivated you, and you called what Mammon's getting ready to do in your life a blessing, and you submitted to it, not submit to God. That's not honor when you honor the money more than you honor God, or you honor the job more than you honor God. So we know what it means to honor the Lord. But now he says, honor the Lord with your substance or with your money. Well, how do you do that? It's the same thing. It means I'm honoring the Lord with my money, meaning the things of God are first place. Amen. It's first place. For so many Christians, we make God an afterthought. He's not first place. We do this with money. We do that with money. We don't even go to God and pray, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? I ain't got to pray about it. I ain't got but a little bit anyway. See, that attitude keeps you broke. Yes. because you won't allow his influence to get on your money.